Hello, boys and girls. Welcome in to the Boys and Girl Podcast with Cowboys NFL Network reporter Jane Slater and NFL Network producer Bobby Belt. A Cowboys community with the inside scoop on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, coming straight to you from the Lone Star State, here's Jane and Bobby.
Well, we have had the good fortune here on the Boys and Girl Podcast of getting some amazing guests in the last couple of weeks. And this next one, Bobby, I'm really excited, mostly because we haven't really spoken with him since his injury and then, of course, his subsequent surgery. But we've got Cowboys linebacker Leighton Vander Esch joining us.
Absolutely. And he is he's such a sharp and down to earth guy. I've always enjoyed listening to him talk about the game and just in general talk about, you know, where things are at and what he sees. And so I think fans who maybe sometimes don't always, you know, hear from him, because like you said, nobody's really heard from him since the season ended. He's not a guy who does a ton of interviews. And so I think it's a good look at fans being able to get an understanding of what his football IQ is like, where he's at in his recovery, and just some of how he is as a person. Joining us now is Cowboys linebacker Leighton Vander Esch. You can follow him on Twitter at Vander Esch 38, and you can also check out his website with all his merchandise and other things at officiallve.com. Leighton, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys?
Doing great. Really glad you could join us. I know it's kind of a crazy time right now with everything that's going on with the pandemic. And then, you know, you add into that, you know, your recovery from your injury and that you're dealing with right now. I guess first start off with that, the coronavirus aspect of it. How have you been attempting to stay in shape and get yourself ready with, you know, such seemingly limited resources right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's been difficult, but I mean, you kind of got to make do with what you have. You got to find a way. You got to prepare every single day, pretty much like you're going to be, like the season's going to be on. So when it is and whenever we get the green light to go, you got to be ready to go. So it's just waking up, running, doing as much conditioning as you can, lifting, all that stuff. And then obviously we can meet virtually online to go over the plays and all that stuff right now. So I mean, it's difficult, but we're getting it done.
You know, Leighton, we haven't really talked to you since the injury, and I remember sitting in the press conference room and Jason Garrett saying that the injury wasn't life-threatening, and we all sort of found ourselves going, where did it even get close to that? Why was that thrown out? How are you? What actually happened? And are you going to be ready to play next year?
I am doing wonderful. I feel as good now as I ever have before I even got hurt. But, I mean, I'm ready to roll. I've been training full go for a couple months now. So it's not holding me back whatsoever. I feel, like I said, just as good as I ever have. So I'm just excited to play football at this point and get back on the field. And like I said, whenever they give us the green light to go, we're going to be ready. And then from that time on, it's full go and don't let off the gas pedal.
Your agent told us on the podcast last year that you were essentially trying to tackle with one arm. That's how bad some of that neck stiffness was. And then, of course, it was in the Philly game, I believe, two offensive players ended up falling on you, or was it two defensive players? Help me clear that up. What was going on with your body?
Well, their tight end and Jeff pretty much ran into me while I was falling down. I was man-to-man on the running back, if I remember right. And when I turned and looked, he had just caught the ball and they were like right in front of me. And then he kind of pushed me to my side while I was going down. I was going to tackle him at first, but then I kind of lost my balance when the running back kind of pushed me on the side and I just got caught in a bad position, and that was pretty much it. And then I obviously took the bye week off because it was right before the bye week, and then sat out the Giants game in hopes that it would be better. And then I went back and tried to play for 2 weeks with it, and I dealt with it for those two games, and it was a struggle. It was hard, but like I said, there's always, like, players are always battling through injuries and they're always playing. Jeff was a prime example of it last year with his shoulders. I mean, he was freaking warrior out there at safety for us. And he was messed up every single week, but that's what people don't understand is we're putting our bodies on the line every single game. And then they want to have judgment. They want to have opinion on everything. And they have absolutely no idea what we're going through and what we're like putting on the line to go out there and play just so they can watch us. But that's what you get when you play football. So you got to be able to play through some stuff like that. And I tried for those 2 weeks and it wasn't working out very well. I was trying my hardest, but I couldn't tackle worth a dang. So figured probably better go get an MRI, and then found out we needed to have surgery here in whatever, in the middle of January. So, but now I'm good. I'm solid, ready to go, healthy as ever.
Love it.
We've talked to guys before. We've heard from players before after, you know, they suffer an injury early in the season or in the middle of the season, and then, you know, it's a race down the finish, and they feel really kind of isolated from the rest of the group, and they talk about how it can be difficult to be rehabbing an injury while you're, you know, your brothers, this family that you've created is out there fighting for something. Was that especially hard for you to have to kind of sit on the sidelines, especially with your competitive nature, and kind of watch the guys fight for that playoff spot without you?
Extremely difficult. I was just trying to do as much as I could to be there for them and help them on the field, even though I couldn't play. I was trying to help them with plays, communication, signaling, everything I possibly could. I was right there. I was always telling the coaches, like, whatever you need of me, whatever help you need, communication, signal calling, whatever it is on the sideline, I'm right there. Like, just tell me what you want me to do. And just helping the guys talk through the plays on the sideline whenever they came off on a drive, and just communicating as if I was playing and preparing as if I was playing, but obviously just not getting the snaps on the field.
What have you thought about the coaching staff so far? Because I know a lot of you guys didn't get to meet them, and now you're meeting them virtually in these virtual chats. What's that been like?
It's been different, but it's kind of been interesting too for me though, because Mike Nolan, our D coordinator now, he was the one that gave me, he pretty much took me on my tour when I visited New Orleans when I was getting drafted. And so him and I already had a really good relationship. I never met Scott, our linebacker coach, before. And I hadn't met George Edwards, our defensive assistant, before either. But I got to briefly talk to all of them early in January or middle of January. I got to talk to all of them, see them in person, and everything pretty much before everything got locked down and got all crazy. I got to see them for a little bit. And now we're just, like I said, we're just trucking away on virtual meetings, learning plays and all that stuff. And that's difficult. And I know some of the guys didn't get the chance to meet the coaches before, but I think we're doing an extremely good job, and we're just locked in every single meeting, and we're just ready to go.
To follow up on that, you know, some of these players that I've talked to, you know, someone like yourself, you are in Idaho in the off season, you know, you're recently married, so it's sort of an opportunity to sort of reconnect with her, something that you don't get to really do during the football season. Do you guys like doing it this way, since you would be in the classroom and you'd have to come back otherwise, this ability to sort of do it remotely?
Yes and no. I think we get a good amount of time after the season to go enjoy and kind of just have a personal life for a couple months. But as a competitor and as an athlete, how it is, you kind of, your body and your mind, you kind of know, like, okay, like I need to start getting back. Like I need to start, like, you know, what your body just kind of flips modes, and you know, when you get back to the facility, you know, you got to get back there and start training, meeting with coaches and all that. So you kind of just transition on your own. But it is nice to have those couple months, few months. And obviously it's been extended this year because of the pandemic and all that. So, but it's been nice to catch up on some valuable family time and just kind of take care of business in that aspect. But like I said, we would normally be in OTAs right now if it wasn't for this. So it's definitely different, and you just got to make do. You got to find a way some way.
One of the hallmarks people have always said about, you know, Rod Marinelli's defense is you know, swarming and swarm to the ball and play fast and things like that. And that's similar in a way to what people have said about Mike Nolan's defense as well. But obviously it's a little different. It's, you know, we've heard a lot this phrase that you guys want to be multiple and don't necessarily want to, you know, tie yourselves down to one particular base defense. So far from what you've seen and what you've been learning, how radical a change is this for you guys going from the Rod Marinelli scheme to the Mike Nolan one? Are there some similarities you're able to pick up, or is this kind of like starting from scratch?
There's some things here and there that you can pick up between the two, but I mean, it's anytime you're learning a new defense, there's going to be so much of a, I guess you could say, everybody uses different words as far as terminology. So it's mainly that. And then obviously I think it really just comes down to your effort. If you're going to go out there on the field every single day in practice and you're going to teach yourself good habits, running the ball every single time, I think good things are going to happen regardless. And then the scheme just comes into play. So if you can get your good habits and just the way you play football down to the tee, by practicing every single day the way you're going to play and by running to every single ball and just pushing yourself, it's going to turn into good things on the field. And like I said, then scheme comes in and everything the coach has taught you, you can apply that. And I think that's when you can be really dangerous. And I think that's how we're going to be this year.
What does a 4-3 defense with a lot of these 3-4 looks look like for you? How does your role change in this defense?
I wouldn't even really say that the roles change that much. I mean, a Mike and a Will are essentially in the cover 3 systems now today, the Mike and a Will are essentially the same thing. You can even put some safeties in there. Safeties playing in the box. We're all X's and we all know the different techniques that you play within the scheme. So if you just move some pieces around here and there, it really doesn't matter. Like we literally, we're all X's. So we're interchangeable. We can play a position here. We can play a position there. We should know. And especially as linebackers, we should know every position on the field and what they're doing anyways, because that's going to make you a better player.
You know, we've talked here about that there's obviously been a coaching change. Jason Garrett did land over with the New York Giants. You're going to see them twice a year. Have you thought any about that first opportunity to go up against the Jason Garrett offense and how surreal that might be for you guys on the defensive side of the ball?
It's going to be like the old days in practice. but no, I mean, you got to prepare every single week because they're going to put some different things in. You know, they're going to try and do certain things to take advantage of certain weaknesses they might think that we have. That's what every team does. So you have to be able to prepare and you got to be able to adjust on the fly. And I think that's what makes our group special, is because we have a bunch of smart football players and we love playing football. And I know we're going to prepare that way to go out there and get the job done every single week. So I don't think it matters who we're playing.
What did you think when the Cowboys got CeeDee Lamb at 17 in this year's draft?
I was shocked. The whole time I was I didn't realize that he was still on the board, because I think it was just that crazy. But that's a huge pickup for us. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do for us on the field. I know I think the rookies have started meeting virtually with the coaches over the weekend they started. So I'm just excited to get everybody together and get those guys learning. Obviously, they're trying to learn a whole new playbook, a whole new system, and the way we do things well. So, it's pro football.
You know, when you look at the offensive side of the ball and some of the threats that are there now with CD and Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, and you've already got Zeke, of course, and Tony Pollard and Dak Prescott. And, you know, I've asked some of the defensive guys this recently, you know, it's obviously one of those unwritten things that you don't talk about another guy's money or his contract. So I'm not going to ask you about Dak's contract, but on the broader scale of the topic of Dak Prescott within the context of the league, what do you think it is that makes him special? What makes him, you think, stand out from some of the other quarterbacks you see outside of practice on game days on Sundays?
Well, he's always working. You know, he's always putting in the work. He's being a leader on and off the field. And I think his work ethic speaks for itself. He's always pushing guys to come along with him. He's always pushing himself to get better every single day. And I think that just speaks wonders of a guy. When you can see that when he's away from football, that tells you what kind of character he is. So I know he'll always be taking care of business just like he always is. So, I mean, they'll get something done. I don't know when, I don't know what it is. I don't know the details of it, but, I'm positive they'll get something done.
You know, you're a young guy, but your approach is very similar to someone like Sean Lee, the guy that just sort of puts on his hard hat and gets to work. There's not a lot of frills that come with Sean. What's it been like continuing to be able to have him in that linebacker room, especially with the fact he's coming back yet another year?
Mm-hmm. Man, that finding out that he was coming back to play another year after this past season put a huge smile on my face. When I found that out, I was so pumped. It's so valuable having a guy like him in the room, not just for his ability with football and his knowledge, but just the person he is. I think it's contagious, the way he prepares, the way he carries himself, and it makes younger players want to be just like that. And that's the guy you want to be. I mean, he's going on what, this is 10th or 11th year? 10th year?
Yeah, 11.
Maybe his 11th or something like that.
11.
The dude has dealt with pretty much every single bit of adversity you could possibly deal with as his career went on. And look at him now. He stayed healthy the whole season last season, played good football for us, and he has that intangible just way he goes about things. I mean, you can't replace that. And the fact that you get that for a whole nother year, I absolutely love it. I love the guy. And I'm just excited to play football with him again.
He's so tricky. I never know if he's going to snap your neck off or if he's going to give you a hug. Like, he's one of those guys that I think that sort of unpredictability is good on the football field, especially when you're playing defense.
Yeah, you got to have some of that, I guess you could say, odd aggression. Anybody that plays defense, I think, is a little bit crazy, honestly. You got to be a little bit crazy to go out there and fly around and just, that's what you want to do, is you want to hit dudes and make plays. So I think no matter what position you play on defense, you got to be a little bit crazy.
With all the turnover that's gone on, not just with the roster and the coaching staff, you know, both those areas, there being a lot of turnover, do you feel any sort of responsibility to act as somewhat of a bridge for this new coaching staff and new players and help cultivate the new culture as quickly as possible as somebody who's been here for a couple of years now?
Absolutely. I think that's just the jobs that we have as linebackers as a whole. We got to have everybody on the same page every single play. And the faster we can get everybody on the same page right now, with all this, with the stuff that we're dealing with, I know it's hard to meet virtually and do all that, but the faster we can get everybody on the same page, the better off we're going to be. Obviously, we have more adversity because we're putting in a new playbook. We're putting in a new system. So there's not very many teams in the league that have to do that every year. But we're one of them this year. So we're embracing it and we're going to go after it and do it. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can to help, curve that matter. And being a leader, being a guy that the younger guys can come to and ask me questions whenever they want. It doesn't matter time, place, whatever it is. I'll be there to answer those questions as best I can possible. And like I said, just as fast as we can get everybody on the same page and get rolling, the better off we're going to be.
All right, let's get to what you've just been doing in your free time, Leighton. I saw that you were in Idaho. It's, I would imagine, fairly easy to socially distance there, given the small town that you came from. Have you been able to lift up the gun? Have you been able to do a little bit of hunting? What are some of your off-season activities?
Yeah, well, I mean, early on, I was a little bit limited, obviously, because I was just trying to heal up and just take things as they came. But, I mean, I feel wonderful now. And when we were at home, we were getting in the mountains a little bit, horn hunting, doing, just getting some good exercise that way. We're out by ourselves. We go camping, fishing. It just started to warm up a little bit before I came back. But it's a fun off season back at home. Just getting out in the outdoors and hanging out and being around a campfire or anything like that. I didn't get the chance to go hunting or anything really, because everything's really closed except for wolves, obviously, but I couldn't do any of that this season.
Wolf hunting for you.
Being responsible.
Well, and since that is, you know, everybody kind of knows you're the rugged outdoorsman and you are the wolf hunter. Have you had any, like, teammates hit you up these couple years and been like, hey, I want to come out to Idaho with you. I want to hunt wolves.
Oh, yeah. I like, probably half the dudes would. I don't know if they just say it or if they would, but I feel like I'm pretty confident the majority of the guys would come stroll around the mountains with me.
All right, now I'm going to put you in and I'm going to have you just walk right into it, Leighton. What's the one guy that would possibly pull a Dick Cheney on you and not be able to shoot straight and would be a liability for you if you put a gun on him and you guys went in the backwoods?
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Zeke?
I was thinking the same thing.
Because I think we talked about it the one time, he was like, he's like, dude, those things are scary. And I was like, they're really not that bad. Like, you would be fine. And so I think he would just be so, like, he would have buck fever or something when he was out there. And I don't even know if he shot a gun in his life. So I would have to really question that one.
If he does, will you GoPro it for us?
Yes.
I need video or it didn't happen.
Have documentation on every bit of it.
and I don't know if you get a chance to watch the team's mic'd up segments ever, but there was a point last year where you were doing the wolf howl, and the team website put a video out there of Zeke explaining to Tony Pollard that you actually hunt wolves. And yeah, he seemed pretty, you know, he seemed like it was a little heavy for him. And we go, yeah, it's crazy. He literally hunts wolves. And then Tony Pollard had to say, oh, they're overrun with wolves, like in Frisco, rabbits. Because there's so many rabbits, and he's like, not like rabbits at all.
Yeah, I think I did see that clip. And it made me laugh pretty hard. But I'm all game for taking the guys out and showing them the ways out there. So, I mean, they just got to let me know and actually come out instead of say it.
That's so amazing. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time because I know that you've been busy, but we really, really, really appreciate you jumping on the podcast with us. So continue to hill, and we're looking forward to seeing you ball out again next year.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. Looking forward to it too.
All right. Well, we have been jam-packed here even during this pandemic and the quarantine. So we appreciate so many of you guys that have tuned in both on the iHeartMedia app and iTunes, but also now in our YouTube channel. But Bobby and I admittedly need a little time off. Bobby, your lovely wife is going back to work. So I don't know if that means that you get more daddy duty.
Yeah, it'll be, it should be fun. I mean, she's chomping at the bit. She's ready to get back and do some stuff. I mean, as much as she enjoyed the, you know, staying up till 1 a.m. to watch a movie without having to worry about getting up at 6 or whatever, I think she's going a little stir crazy, some cabin fever setting in. So it'll be good. I think it'll be healthy for everyone if mom's a little happier. So that'll be good.
Happy wife, happy life. I wouldn't know much about that since my marriage only lasted 1 year, but that's what I hear, yeah. Bobby.
You do not have, overshare.
I know. Sometimes I get a little TMI-ish, but also I'm a bit of a lake rat myself, and admittedly, the weather is really getting nice here in Texas, so it's time to retreat to the lake house and enjoy a little bit of that before we kick up the football season, which I think you and I can already feel is going to be a very interesting one as we continue to navigate this pandemic. But again, thank you to so many of you that have continued to support us. Tune in, like us, and subscribe us, and we'll see you here soon.